Okay. We already talked about the one other item already as far as the budget being revised, and that's as far as new business. We do need to revise the budget. We'll work on that as a board and present it to the next at our next meeting. We need to work on the master plan of improvements on cabins. Phil Hall did a lot of work when he was a past board president, and he had outlined a five-year plan for cabin maintenance. A couple years, they did actually work on the plan, and since then, the last couple years, nothing has happened as far as major improvements, except, no, I can't say nothing has happened, but there has been some work done on some of the cabins in line.
Roofing and windows.
Cabin two, exactly. The vinyl windows were installed, and then it's been re-roofed.
Dave Turley.
Thanks to Dave Turley for that, and he's finished that up a few weeks ago, and that's much appreciated, and we need to make sure that we acknowledge that also, because that was quite an effort that he put out there, plus material.
He was paid for it, so.
Okay, but still.
We need to still thank him.
Still thank him, because he did a good job on that, and we really appreciate it. So I have a proposed, five-year proposed cabin maintenance plan. I'm going to resubmit to everyone. I'm not going to go over it right now. It's too lengthy, but I will submit that as in document form or to the board. I'll try to get it out on a PDF format so that everyone
can get that. Could you put on the website too?
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. That's a good idea for the. We're still in the thinking of website. We're still in the process of redoing the website, bring it up to date, and to get more information that we can get posted on there. So as the cabin plan or plan of master plan of improvements, not just the cabins, but there's other infrastructure, obviously, a road plan, erosion plan, you name it. We're trying to come up with a means to address all those needs so that we can work at it and make progress. As it's really disheartening to review the minutes of past boards and you're still revisiting the same items. So what we're trying to do is to be proactive and to really get a handle on obviously the things that are needed and to move forward in a planned and orderly fashion. Any comments as far as ranch improvements?
Do you have a copy of the old proposed ranch improvement plan?
I do. And what I've done with the old one is I've just added two with so the old one is still part of the plan.
Okay.
And so it's and I've just added two what I felt some things that needed to be worked on. And obviously I don't know everything. I don't know all, but your guys' input and feedback is greatly appreciated.
How'd you get the job as president of the board? I thought you knew everything.
No, I'm just like okay. Cogging the wheel. You know that, Dave. But anyway, so that is along with this other list of things. The committees. Okay. As far as the next item on new business is the goat lease agreement between Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association and Ole Lindgren. And we've had quite a bit of discussion on this, and where we're at now is that the goats are still on the property, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Do they have a herder?
I talked to Ole yesterday, and he was waiting for a herder to show up.
Okay.
So hopefully there's supposed to be another herder coming up.
Okay. Not Dwight. Dwight's no longer there?
No.
Okay.
Ole was there today, for instance, and he went in and made a phone call or a couple of efforts to make a phone call, and he didn't inquire or ask permission. I think it's a good idea that it be made known to him that he doesn't have free reign of the ranch house anymore. There'll be a new family in there.
Okay, I'll talk with him on that. Okay, and he told me a week ago that he was moving his goats towards Slide Canyon, and as far as I know, they're still up at the top of the meadow.
They are at the top of the meadow as of today. One of the members came and asked me if I was aware that there were goats up there because one gave birth and then just abandoned it. So I went up and took a look, and they're up there. I couldn't find the newborn, but they haven't been moved.
Okay.
And I think I meant Ole was there yesterday, not today.
Okay. All right. Right.
Apparently Ole's new goat herd probably didn't show that.
Anyway, so I talked with Ole last week, and he said that he was going to be moving his goats over to Slide, and that he was in the process of trying to find someone to buy his goats. And that he had a couple, three offers, but he was trying to figure out which one was going to be best. And that if we would be patient for about 60 days, you know, hopefully he said this would all go by the wayside here. So, and as far as the agreement itself, we still have even. And I said, well, what happens in 60 days if you don't sell the goats? And he said, well, then he would be willing to revisit this agreement. But no, nothing firmer than that. So that still leaves it kind of wide open as far as what his plans are, what his thoughts are. I'm not sure. But in our position, or at least my position, is that the way the lease is written now, it's all one-sided, and it doesn't take into any kind of consideration for the ranch. So we've discussed this.
I had a call yesterday from Brent Robertson that has the current cattle grazing lease, you know, on Deer Springs Ranch. And last year he took a big cut because of the goats. And this year he's concerned about it too. He's basically thinking about maybe obtaining his own attorney and seeing if he can do something about towards us because of the situation with the goats being in the cattle grazing area, such as right now the meadows, which is basically set aside for cattle grazing. So I told Brent I thought Ole was moving his goats yesterday over in the Slide, and he says, well, if he gets over in the Slide, wouldn't be an issue because my cows don't really graze that much in Slide Canyon. The few that do, I could keep them from going that way, but he's pretty concerned about the way that the goats are basically just running loose on the ranch.
Okay.
I think we need to tell them they need to get moved.
Well, we have told them that, but if he doesn't have someone herding the goats, they pretty much and that's been the issue from the beginning, is that he has not properly managed his goat herd and has let them roam free. And
they won.
And that's been the issue, the primary issue with the goats, I feel. And he has been notified and
numerous times.
Yeah. So the other thing is to if someone's like Brent, who does have a lease with us for cattle grazing, and that we've had for how many years?
Well, this contract's for 7 years, but he's had the grazing rights for about 18 years.
Probably about at least seven.
This last contract was a seven-year contract. But prior to that, he also had contracts.
10 or 11 years.
About 18 years total now.
So, and the whole thing with reducing and getting out of Brent Robinson's lease was to develop our own herd, and that was the direction that the board wanted to see was, you know, improving the numbers on our own herd, and also to revisit. Hello, is this John?
Yeah, this is John. Sorry, I just got home. Sorry I'm late.
Well, that's all right, John. We've covered most of the old business and some of the new business. We were in the middle of talking about the goat lease agreement and what's happening with the goats currently. This is being tape recorded. It's being recorded. So we'll get it posted to the website. Plus, we'll get minutes drawn up on it too. So you'll be able to look at where we've been so far. As far as the goats right now, they're still on the ranch. They're up in the meadow. We asked Ole to move them to Slide, and they haven't been put over there yet. And they're basically on the lands that are for the cattle. So
Brent Robbins would actually like to close the gates on the meadow until end of July, 1st of August, to let the meadow completely grow and reseed itself because of the hard grazing it received last year from the horses and goats. He'd like to wait till late summer before we even put any animals in our area, which is a good management practice.
Yeah, and then that Ole's, like I said before, He had a herder out there last week for a few days, and then obviously that herder is no longer there, and then he's supposed to be getting another herder to manage his goats. But as it is right now, they're not being managed. So he did ask that we show some patience and that hopefully within the next 60 days he'll have an opportunity to make the sale of his goats and be out of the goat business and be off the land there. So,
if I can make one comment here, though, one of those options he had, one of these options for sale, was selling it to another goat herder and then transferring his goat lease to this other goat herder.
I would say that's not valid. We can fight that at that point.
But that was what was one of his people was going to purchase these goats.
Yeah, I believe I read one of the emails where he was moving over into Slide.
Right.
And that he was going to have a permanent guy out there to watch them for him, but he was going to try to sell them within 60 days, and then if not, then he was going to try to renegotiate his lease, I guess, with us. I believe that's the way I read that. I don't have that in front of me, but
that's the email that I sent to you right after I talked with him that evening. He said that he'd revisit it, but he didn't necessarily say that he'd renegotiate it because his position was that he didn't really want to make any changes to it, but that he would look at it. So, like I said, it was kind of up in the air as far as what he's willing to do for the ranch.
We do need to inform him that if he thinks he's going to resell that lease and put it over to somebody else, that lease would immediately be broken. We need to make sure that we fight that.
Well, yeah, I think our goat lease is with him, not with somebody else.
No.
Yeah,
and if we do want to keep the goats, a renegotiated contract with the new owner is the minimum expectation.
Yeah. Well, as I've said before, I think properly managed, the goats would be a good deal. That's another problem, but with properly managed, they should be a good deal for us. And because that'd be one thing we wouldn't have to attend to on our section.
Right, right. Well, that's been an issue. That's where you properly manage, and obviously that's open to interpretation, I guess. Or and there are specific things that is normal for goat herders to do, and especially if it's used for fire protection, which is the reason that we would want them, is that they would be they would not be able to be overgrazing areas. They have to be fenced and moved regularly. They have to be overseen, and obviously the ranch is really not a place for goats during the wintertime. I mean, well, people who herd animals, sheep and goats and so forth, they take them to winter grounds, winter grazing areas, and the ranch is definitely not suited for livestock like that in the wintertime, at least not, especially in the numbers that they have up there.
Yeah, I imagine it's pretty tough on them up there. Well, I guess whichever way we go, if we revisit it with Ole, then maybe we ought to. We should have some stipulations on the management procedure.
Right.
As with anybody else that comes in there, what we would expect from it. Probably that was one of the things that went wrong there, that there was really no ground rules that I saw that made it clear for anybody, either for him or us.
Right.
And boy, unless you have some ground rules and you need them that's beneficial to both peoples. You know, it's like negotiating anything. It's got to be a win-win for situation, or it just won't last. It'll cause problems. But if you have a winning situation for both parties, then you have a good marriage.
Right. Well, that's what it was termed, an agreement. And an agreement that's just one-sided, there's really not much agreeing on the issues there. And just to revisit, just to go back a little bit on this, that Ole was given the direction to develop a lease, come up with a lease that was to be approved by the board. And he came up with a lease, but it was never approved by the board. It was never voted on by the board. And he got Larry to sign it as the president of the board. And he said that we had approved it. And I told Ole, no, we had never approved that lease. And then he said that, well, we had given Larry the permission to negotiate that for the board. And I said, no, that was never talked about in the board meeting or anything like that. And so just on that alone, the lease was never developed with the board. It was and never approved of by the board. And so that's why it got, it is where it is, because, and that's why it's so one-sided. And actually, he even told me on the phone, always said that it was purposely written that way so that future boards would not have any way of getting out of it. So to me, it doesn't have any, the interest of the ranch at heart. It doesn't have membership's thought towards the membership of the ranch. It was totally one-sided, and he purposely did that so that would make it difficult for future boards to question or modify the lease.
I think I said once before, if I had the investment in the goats and I was asked to write it, I would most definitely write it in my favor. And the other party, it would be up to them to say, wait a minute, you know, we need to amend this a little bit. It's not acceptable.
Right.
So I know that Larry signed it, but really when we come down to it, it's our fault that it went that far.
Well, I don't know how. See, the thing is, I don't know how that it's our fault. Larry signed it, and it was never brought back.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, he signed it. We don't know exactly when he signed it because we didn't get privy to this information until March of this year, and he's had the goats out there since March of last year.
He's been asked every board meeting.
You know,
part of it,
and matter of fact, in August of last year, it was specifically said that Ole needs to bring and that the board needs to approve said agreement. So, and, you know, things weren't done in the open, and things were actually concealed to keep this away from the board. So I don't know that we're that culpable. As far as where we're at right now, because that's why we're addressing it so earnestly right now, because we were not privy to the information and the way that it was purposely written is pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, what has Larry said about it? Has anybody had a chance to ask him or
Larry? No.
Still off phoning.
He's been out of the country.
He's been out. He's been in Alaska for the past couple weeks. He may be back now, but haven't heard from on this.
You were going to check, I think, when we last talked about.
Right. I've held off on that a few days. I haven't got legal counsel on that yet. I apologize. I will look into that. As far as Larry's ability to sign for the board, it's kind of gray area because the way that the position of the board president is that he has general supervision of ranch properties, and so it's kind of vague in the way that's written. I still have to check into that. I personally would not do anything like that without a board approval. It's just like stepping way out there, if you ask me.
Well, probably then for future, then something has to be changed in the bylaws or whatever you, in order to prevent that it takes at least so many members, no matter what, and then the president signs it.
Yeah. It's just really broad and vague the way that it's written. But the board had already requested the contract or the agreement, and that it also needed to have
prior board,
and it needed to have board approval. And prior to the board that we have now,
correct. Yeah,
and that it had to have board approval, which never happened. And I have been going through the minutes and listening to the audios, and in fact, even Larry himself, in the May minutes of last year, he had stated I wish I had my notes with me, that this issue with the goats, them being all over the place, and that there's that we had no intent of hiring a herder, and that the impacts were... It already impacted us a year ago to this date, and then it was brought up that we needed to at that time make sure that we had an agreement, and he was going to talk to Ole about that, but I don't know where that went. That was a year ago, so I know where we are today. Okay, the conference is being recorded again. I don't know why it stopped. John, what was that question you had again?
Yeah, I said you talked with Ole here, about a week or ago?
Yeah, just a little over a week ago,
Now, how do you feel about the outcome of that? Do you feel that Ole wants to try to do,
okay,
do as you said, try to get management on the goats and move them over to Slide?
Well, I don't feel real good about it because that was a week ago and the goats are still in the upper meadow. They haven't been moved yet. He had a herder there for a couple of days, and now he's trying to get another herder over there. I hear one thing that he's trying to sell the goat, and then another thing that he's bringing on more goats, and then I hear another thing that he's trying to sell the lease, which is not saleable, to someone else. So I personally don't feel really good about it right now, but I hope to feel better soon, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But that's my own, personal thoughts right now. And
yeah, well, I agree. If we're going to run cattle in the meadow there, then I know how goats are, or goats and sheep, they eat right down to the ground.
Well,
and there's nothing left.
There's nothing. Well, on this agreement that he had, number one is that Deer Springs Ranch is going to give up all its rights and to him to run goats on every piece of property that's associated with Deer Springs Ranch, including the BLM leases, and actually we can't do that because the BLM lease is set up for cattle, and actually in the terms of the lease it said the ranch will make available all lands, leases, waterways, springs, egresses, and assets necessary to the movement and management of the goats, including camping area for the herders and forage for no more than four horses. We can't not make available those all the lands and all the leases because especially the leases because they're for cattle and
we can't change that.
Our only argument point that we have really at the way this is written, our only argument point is that we should be able to direct him where the fire danger is, because ostensibly, and it says it in the notes at the beginning of the agreement, that this was for fire protection. So ostensibly, we should be able to direct him where our fire problems are the greatest.
Yeah, direct him.
That is our only anything that we can do. The way this is written, we really got screwed in this deal.
Dustin,
yeah.
Seriously screwed.
Yeah, Dustin, he wrote this thing he wasn't concerned about the fire protection because he even said in the January meeting of the first year where he started was that the fire marshal says if you have 100 goats, that handles the fire protection problem. You know,
right.
You didn't need 500 goats. You didn't need what he has on the lease is 1,000 nannies. And we know 1,000 nannies could be up to 3,000 goats.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
you got the kids and the billies involved.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the nannies have two, maybe three in the litter, you know, at least two, not at least two, at least one, but maybe two. So it's just... I don't know. I just say that, you know, Ole asked for us to be patient and that he was going to try to make this go away because he doesn't have the time and energy right now to be at his ranch in Antimony and also out here to the Deer Springs. So maybe by just giving him the time to sort through this and figure out what's going to be best, maybe we can do that, providing that he moves the goats to Slide Canyon and has someone oversee them.
Sure.
Obviously, they need to be managed, and that's.
I know at least one person over there would like to have those goats on his property, and I'm sure there are others, but I know at least one person who would like to have them over there. Well, I think if Foley's going to, you know, even if the contract is slanted heavily in his side, and we have the option to tell him where we want the fire danger taken care of, I think that's reasonable, and he should listen to that.
Right, and that's been our effort and our discussions. Like I said, when I talked with him last, and he was going to make that effort and get those over there, but as yet they have not been done. So, and he was at the ranch the other day, not today, but yesterday. And
maybe he'll within the next. I'm going to be up there next weekend, so I'm bringing my fifth wheel up. Hopefully, we'll see that when I get up there.
Oh, okay, that'll be good. Well, so at now, as far as the further discussion on this, I don't know that we can resolve anything right now. But I just wanted to
other than pressuring to get the goat out of the meadow and over in the slide. That's only that's the issue right now. Just get the goats out of the meadow.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is everyone in agreement on that? Moving the goats, make sure they continue to move over to slide. Are there any?
Yeah, I don't think that they need to eat up all of the meadow there, because we do have a pending lease on that for cattle, don't we?
Yes, we do.
This year we do.
Yes, we do. Okay. Okay. So we'll move towards that.
I suggest if he keeps dragging his feet on moving, I think we just need to put him in the default and of the lease agreement he's got right now. And,
yeah, he's been in default for the
year. Yeah, but we need to do something about it. We've been, despite what a lot of the members think, we've been too lenient, you know, with these issues of polling, and we need to make our decisions and stand behind them.
Okay. I think we've beat that pretty good. Any comments? Any listeners?
From me.
Okay.
That's up. You guys too.
All right. Bob Becker, Clint Gray, or Vance Green, do you have any issue with what we've discussed so far?
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. I'm good. I don't know. Have any of you seen the lease agreement?
I think we should post it along with these other documents, probably.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Like I said, there's been some. Have you heard some of the discussion and how where this agreement is drawn up and how we've basically, the way I feel, it's been concealed from the board and from the membership, for that matter. So we'll probably
even on the lease agreement, there's no dates anywhere,
yeah,
even on it.
Well, there is one, January 2007.
Well, when is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't say when it was drawn up. And
it doesn't say when it was signed.
When it was signed, either.
So if the board's in agreement, I'll go ahead and get this thing posted on the website.
Yeah, and let's make sure we include some notes of explanation about how it came about.
Okay, I can do that.
Don't just post it blindly. Explain it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there'll be a timeline as far as some of this, how it's come about. Okay. I'll do that. That way, the only reason that we haven't posted yet, and we've only had this thing for a couple of months as a board, and I can say the only reason we haven't posted it is that we've been trying to rectify things, and not like we're trying to conceal anything. It's just that we're you know, trying to protect the ranch and try to do things appropriately. And that's our intent, is not to create problems or anything like that. We're here to try to resolve this in an equitable fashion. So we will get that information out with these other things. The other thing I have for new business, which I'll probably table some of these things like committees and the Deer Springs Ranch Owner's Manual, which I'm working on, and the Board of Directors Information Package, which I'm still working on, is that I will, if it's okay with people, obviously, if you have an interest in a committee like communications or facilities, feel free to contact me and to work with me and trying to get these committees established and on the ground. But obviously, we're still trying to work past some of this whole business. So as far as the direction of the board, And like I've said before, we're trying to get back to the basics. To me, that would mean roads, water, and cabins, and try to get the new management online and up to speed and trained. And my mantra this year is less is more. So you may hear me say that from time to time. Anything else that the board would like to bring up as new business?
I would when it's appropriate.
Okay, it's appropriate right now, John.
Okay. All right, I don't know if you guys have covered this, but I wasn't here. As I say, I got in pretty late tonight. But there's some, on the cabin rentals, there's some things that have come up that I don't think are very clear, and it's not posted on the website about how much per night a cabin is and what the criteria is for renting one. In other words, I guess there's a $95 a night for some and plus a $50 restoration fee reservation fee, I should say.
Yeah.
And then we have the other deal where we're fit, if you're within a week, well, then it's a $50 and a $25 on that. And I know there's been some confusion with some of the people, and I know there's been recently some with the Bulls on it. I think they're clear on it now, but they may be listening, and they may have Brad may have some questions here.
Uh-huh.
If he's listening in tonight, I'm not sure if he is or not. He was going to last night. The funny thing, I'm late tonight. I hurried home last night, and I tried to tune in, and I realized that it was the 14th, not the 15th. So,
okay.
And Brad laughed at me for making that error because I told him it was last night. But anyway, I don't know if Linda's emailed any of you.
Yeah, I have got some of that email, and we do need to make some clarification. If there's some confusion on the website, we'll look into that and see how we can clarify. I think the reservation policy in itself is confusing. I mean, there's just so many little, so much information there. And maybe we can revise it to where we can simplify it some.
And you know, the question I have, and I don't know what the policy is. I'm kind of new here on the board, and each time I've rented up there a cabin, I've always waited a week before, and I've always been able to get it. But then I have my fifth wheel up there too, so. We have the outside people, you know, I guess in town or someplace that are not even related to or friends of anybody in the membership here can rent it for approximately for the same amount as we do, except that I guess Linda told me yesterday when I talked with her that, no, they had a $75 restoration fee. And, but that's not posted either. And
actually it is. What's really confusing though is the fact that the cash rate for just regular rentals is not on there. It got dropped in the last revision. So what's in there is basically it says if you have a lot week and you make a reservation, it's $25. If you're a member. If you're a non-member and you're using a member's time, so you're basically going by yourself, but you're using somebody else's time, you get charged $75. And that's always been the case. Then there's a cash rate. So basically, if you want to last minute get in some time, a few days, like for a weekend or something, or you want to extend your week or week 2 weeks, the cash rate is $50 a night. It's $50 for the first night and then $25 for each subsequent night unless it's the garden cabin or cabin one, it's $50 a night. But what got dropped was the per day rate, the regular per day rate for anybody. Yeah, and well, for anybody really. Though I personally think that we should kind of revise this and make it a lot clearer, and maybe just have a per day rate for members and a per day rate for non-members and be done with it. Something like that. I don't know. Maybe clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think
because it is confusing.
Yeah.
I know that Trina Bull, she came up last year, and she's doing it again this year. She's a school teacher, and she's coming up, and she has some friends that are coming up with her. I think there's four people, and she, you know, she was going to use part of her 2 weeks, but because of the time that she had to get there, which was on a Thursday, and she's only going to be there for, 3 or 4 days, it was going to cost her both weeks for that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's fair.
No, seriously, that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I know it's way as it's written, but I don't think that's
the fair. Only way she could get away from that is if a week before she comes, a week prior to her stay is that Thursday's open, then she could get in.
Well, that was mentioned to her by her husband and to him. But the problem is she's setting up something ahead of time and bringing some people up there, and she's not willing to gamble that she will or will not have a place.
And I,
that may be the way the cookie crumbles, but I don't agree with it. I'm like John there. I don't think that you should lose 2 weeks for 3 days just because one of the days happens to fall on a certain day. Because she could only get that time on that day. And, of course, I feel for them, you know, some people live up there in the country and it's close, and that's a good thing, and I'm envious of all of you that do that. But she's coming from California and, you know, and spending $400 for fuel, and then by the time she gets through with all of that, you know, if you get my drift. It's coming a long ways, and she certainly doesn't want to go up there on a chance that she might be able to get a room for the four people on a last-minute basis.
John, if I can interrupt here for a second, we've tried that, and it ends up being the biggest nightmare you've ever seen, trying to juggle weeks. You've got to keep your weeks, you know, flowing on the same start day on each week and the same end date. Otherwise, you're going to have cabins that are not going to be used because somebody's got it for 1 weekend. They're tying up 2 weeks of time for 1 weekend if you start changing that date.
I had that situation before.
It just does not work.
Yeah, I had that situation once where I was going to have to leave early, except that was just when I was up there when they for the last board meeting, I had that situation. I was going to have to leave early, but then the gentleman had canceled, so I was able to stay. But I was going to have to leave on a Thursday, I believe it was.
Yeah. That can be worked out, too, if the prior week is already booked. A lot of times those people are gone by Monday, so that cabin is open.
Yeah.
If they want to contact those people and say, hey, can I come in on the tail end of your week? Then there's no problem with that.
Yeah.
But just expect that, you know, to have a clear blue to book from that date on. No, I mean, it'll just be a total chaos at the ranch. But most of the times it can be worked out with the other people who's got that prior week, because most people don't spend the whole week.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I haven't had to deal with that end of it. I'm just, you know, I've heard this, and I they happen to be friends of mine, and I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, I've been on that other end, and I mean, it can be a total nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, if you bend the rules for one person,
I know they understand it. They're not unreasonable people, and I know they understand it. I think their biggest concern is that things weren't clear enough on the website about how things work, and of course Linda then she gets kind of knocked around a little bit and is bruised a little bit because it's not there. Some people wonder if she knows what she's doing or what have you, and that's not fair to Linda either.
Right. But I think we can look at things and see if we can clean them up and revise them a little bit and see where we can and if we can make allowances somehow, if it's equitable and if we can, I think we can rework it and look at it anyway. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
The other thing, I almost forgot about this too, is that with the new ranch managers, we have to have a new employment contract. And I did send that information out to everyone, and I did get some revised one back from the buttons. And if everyone can take a look at that, I think it's a, with the revisions, I think it's pretty good. And we're going to need to get them to sign on this and agree to it here. And
now there was some talk about paying them a bit ahead of time and stuff. My thought was that we shouldn't pay them anything until we get a contract signed.
I think
Scott also agreed on that too. I new contract. No, I didn't.
So that hasn't occurred yet, right?
No, that has occurred.
It has occurred? Because I think I read some of the emails on that, and I sent one back that...
I got the emails, and I understand what Dustin's concern was. Basically what has happened to us is that the Braytons had called me, and because of the move, it's a long move. It's a kind of a bit of a financial hardship, and they requested a salary advance for 2 weeks to help with this move because of fuel prices and the cost of rental trucks and so forth. And I put that out to the membership of the board, and the responses I got back was okay, but there were some reservations.
Yeah, I read those as reservations. We needed a signed
contract.
A signed contract. I had responded. I suppose you got it, but if you felt good about it, it was okay with me.
Yeah,
but, and very honestly, I hadn't thought about the contract end of it.
Why is it too difficult to fax them the contract or email them the contract and have them fax it back to us? They can go to a Kinko's or anything, and we can have that done in 5 minutes.
Hey, Dustin?
Yeah.
We're talking about the contract now. Okay, we haven't had anything approved. Do you want them there, Dustin, or not?
they'll be there.
They'll be there. They'll sign it. I feel good about
it. That's not the issue. What the issue is that I just don't feel that we should be paying anybody anything unless we have a contract signed.
And
I don't feel that it's difficult to get a contract signed. We can fax it or email it to them. They can fax or email it back to us.
We didn't have a contract formulated yet. We still don't.
Okay.
That's why we're talking about it right now. I want you to look at that contract and let me know with the revisions if you're good with it.
I haven't seen the new revised contract.
Okay.
Is that going to be
out of the loop on that or something? But I looked through all my emails and I don't have one.
Okay. Well, I'll see that gets out to you.
Well, I wasn't in the office today. I was out in Orange County, so
It was one that Barbara Button sent out. Okay. I had sent out the draft to everyone, and then Barbara sent back the one with revisions, and everyone should have got it.
Are we talking about the one on April 21st? that Barbara sent out?
Yes, yes. That's the only one that I have that, okay. You know, pretty much covers what we've been discussing as far as responsibilities and employment status and so forth. Do you have that one, Dustin?
Yep, that one I do have, and that one I did see.
Okay.
I don't see, I looked at that before and I didn't see any problem with it.
Okay.
Well, everybody should probably look at it again because we need to make the final.
We're going to want them to sign on
it. We need to take the draft off of it here pretty quick and make it a final.
I have no problem with it. From what I can see, it looks fine with me.
Okay, I rewrote it, then I will send it out to everyone. And I titled it Ranch Caretakers. Is that in agreement with everyone?
That'd be fine
with me.
Okay. So, okay. I appreciate that. And time was of the essence, Dustin. And so I made a decision.
Not quite as critical as this decision Larry Clarkson made.
I mean, I did not do it unilaterally, guys. I did.
You contacted us all on it.
I did contact you all on that, and I had to do something.
Just like my decision, I had to do something with the water tank last weekend, and I made a decision.
Yeah.
Clean it out, put a screen on it, put water back in it. Sometimes you just got to do it.
Okay.